He is definitely a man of God, walks with God. Well, last Sunday night, we listened to a message he preached the Wednesday before, and it was on the no-name shepherds. And it's amazing that God didn't send the wonderful news of his birth to anybody in the Roman Empire. He didn't even send it to anybody in the Jewish religious, amongst the Jewish religious leaders. He sent it to the shepherds. And the shepherds were the lowliest of people in the Jewish society. They smelled bad. They didn't have real nice clothes. You know, if you've been around animals, they stink, right? Most of them, sheep stink. And, you know, when they're out there with them. And you're going to smell like them. So they would not have been invited to the A-list parties, that's for sure. You know, all the important people parties, Christmas parties and all that kind of stuff. They wouldn't have been invited to all of that. But yet the Lord sent the angels to make the announcement to the shepherds. And we'll talk more about that next Sunday. But I'm sure that these men were good shepherds. I don't think the Lord would have sent an announcement about his son to bad shepherds, do you? Well, that reminds me of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as I was thinking about this, after Christmas, we'll have a Christmas message next week, then a challenge for the new year the next week, and then we're going to be starting a series on Jesus Christ and his praying. And that'll take us a while to get through, to look at all the prayers of Christ and all the things we've learned about that. But as I was just thinking about what to preach today, I was reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. God sent the announcement for his son to be born to these shepherds. And I would imagine that they were good shepherds. They took care of their sheep. They watched them. The Bible says they were out there watching their flocks by night. You see, a shepherd has to work. I mean, he's on the job, and he has to be caring for the sheep. And Christ is our good shepherd. And the Bible says that several times. But God sent his only begotten son as the good shepherd to take care of us, his sheep. Now, it's pretty interesting because our natural man wants to lift us up in pride and tell us how good we are. Oh, you are so good, so good. You understand sheep are absolutely stupid. You understand that? I mean, they really are. They're dumb. You could put a sheep in, you could lead sheep in the front door of a barn, set the barn on fire, and they couldn't find their way out. I mean, they can't, it is a fact, they're just dumb. They cannot take care of themselves. They have no claws, they have no gigantic teeth, they have no way to take care of themselves. And they're just dumb. They can't even figure out which way to go in life. They have to have somebody continually taking care of them. So that kind of blows our, all the world's teachings on, you know, self and, your self-image and your ego and all that. We're sheep. We're compared to sheep. And they're dumb. And they need somebody to guide them. They need somebody to take them from one pasture to the next pasture, because they can't even find good grass on their own. And they're so dumb, they get themselves in trouble all the time. And that book on Psalms 23 by Philip Keller is one of the best books you'll ever read. He was a shepherd. And he looks at, I think it's a shepherd's look at Psalms 23, or I think that's the name of it. If you never read that book, it's a tremendous book. He goes through every verse and looks at it from a shepherd's point of view. And he talks about how that they have some sheep that just will not follow the shepherd. They won't listen. And they go and they get themselves in trouble. And sometime a good shepherd has to break the leg of a sheep. Because see, when one sheep goes off, other sheep follow. And they've had to break the leg of a sheep to keep that sheep from leading all the rest of the sheep astray. And it's a tremendous book. But we need a shepherd to guide us through life. We get ourselves in trouble. We go over and we'll stick our neck through the fence and we'll be eating the bad grass when we're standing in grass up to our knees, right? Don't we do that? And don't we go off on our own and get away from the Lord and lead other people in the wrong direction? And sometimes the Lord has to break our leg, so to speak, discipline us to get us back over where we need to be. You know, the sheep that are the most protected are those that are the closest to the shepherd. And there's so many lessons that we can see. But as I was thinking about this, just want to give you three things this morning. We as sheep need to hear the shepherd's voice. And we need to follow the shepherd's lead. And we need to remain in the shepherd's care. Now those are pretty simple things, but just things we need to be reminded of. We are the sheep, and he is the shepherd. Look at Psalms 95 this morning, if you would. Psalms 95 and verse number 7. Psalms 95 and verse number 7. Psalms 95, verse 7 says this, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." But notice there, it says that we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Then go over to Psalms 100. Psalms 100 and verse 3. The Bible says there, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So we see right there two places, and that's not the only places. But we see that we are the sheep and he is the shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will just help us to understand that we're sheep. And Lord, we need to listen to your voice and we need to follow your lead and we need to remain close to you so that we can be under your care. And I pray, Lord, that we'll just be reminded of what a good shepherd you really are this morning. And help us to be thinking about that as we think about this Christmas season. We thank you for sending us the baby Jesus, who was the good shepherd. And we pray, God, again, you'll just bless in this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, the Middle East, they still have shepherds over there. Actually, I've been told that there are still shepherds even here in California that still take care of their sheep. And they lead their sheep to the pastures and they take care of them. And they got to make sure they have water. One of the things Brother Getz said in his talking about shepherds and sheep is that sheep will not drink from running water. They won't. They won't drink from a running stream. They won't drink. He gave the illustration about one of his jobs was, when he was growing up, was to fill the water tank. Y'all, how many remember that when he talked about that? If you just took the water hose and you stood there and you just filled it up like this, the sheep won't drink out of it. But if you stick it down in the bottom, you know, where it's calm on the top, the sheep will drink. And remember the story? He said, as a mischievous little boy, I'd let them all get around and yank the water hose off and squirt all the sheep. Then they'd all run off. He told about that. That sounds like a little boy, doesn't it? But in the Middle East, of course, there are a lot of shepherds over there. The land there in the Middle East, a lot of places, is just not conducive to growing large amounts of crops. But it can grow enough to sustain sheep. And I'm sure that many of you know the history of America here and the West and all the fights that went on between the cattle men and the sheep men, because the sheep eat everything down. I mean, they just eat it right down to the ground, right? And so then there's nothing left for the cows to come along and eat. And there were a lot of battles. I mean, a lot of fights between the sheep people and the cattle people here out in the West. Well, the sheep have to have something to eat, obviously. And so when they eat it down, there's nothing left, so they got to move on. And the Bible says that Christ is the good shepherd. And it says, he leadeth me, Psalms 23, I'm sorry. I was thinking about Psalms 23 and looking at Psalm 100. Psalm 23 there, of course, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And again, sheep won't drink from waters that are not still. So the Lord takes us to those pastures where we can feed. And the Lord takes us to those places where we can drink spiritually. And I'm glad about that. But let's examine some Bible principles for how we as sheep should respond to the Good Shepherd. First of all, we should hear the shepherd's voice. We could say that would be allegiance to our shepherd. We need to be loyal to our shepherd. Allegiance does mean loyalty, or it means commitment. And as sheep, we need to be committed to our shepherd. We need to listen to the shepherd's voice. It is a fact that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. This is a fact. Sometimes shepherds will put their sheep together. Maybe if they don't have big flocks, they'll put them together, like at night for protection, things like that. And I've heard of the shepherds in the morning when it's time to leave, the shepherds will call for his sheep. And that shepherd's sheep, amongst all the sheep, will get up and they'll follow that shepherd. Isn't that amazing? Because they won't follow another shepherd because they know that shepherd's voice. Well, you and I, we need to be committed to our shepherd. We don't need to be out following some false shepherd. And there's a lot of false shepherds out there that are trying to get us to follow them, right? But we need to understand that Christ is our shepherd. And when, I tell you this, if you get close to the shepherd, then you're going to know his voice. I'm thinking about Mary Magdalene. Remember at the resurrection? Christ appeared to Mary, and she thought he was the gardener. But then he spoke her name as only Christ can, and she immediately knew it was the Lord, because she knew nobody can speak my name like him. Look, the shepherd knows our name. He knows us. He knows where we're at this Christmas season. Sheep are almost constantly either eating or chewing their cud. They constantly feed. The sheep are ruminants, just like cattle, which means that they have a digestive process that involves their food passing through different chambers of the stomach. And I know this is gross, but periodically it's brought back up again so that they can chew it some more. That's what's called chewing the cud. That's just how God made them. But this behavior of the sheep is a very good picture of the relationship we're to have with the Word of God. We put the Word of God in, and we just keep recalling it and bringing it back up so that we can meditate on it and so that we can chew on it, right? And as they chew on that, they get the nutrients out of that they need. So the Word of God, it's something that we ingest into our hearts and our minds in much the same way that these animals take food into their stomachs and then bring it back again and again and again. I'm going to read you. I'm going to quote you several verses here. Job 23:12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I know a missionary boy. He's not a boy, he's a man, but he was raised in Argentina, and he's done a tremendous work for the Lord. But he said when they were raised in Argentina, his mom used to have a rule that they could not eat breakfast until they had cleaned their room and read their Bible. And he said, "Believe me, when you get really hungry, you'll make sure and get your Bible reading in every morning. Because mama said you can't eat till you get it done." Well, that's what this means. More than my necessary food. He said, "I was hungry a lot of times, but I couldn't eat until I had read the Word of God." Even more necessary than physical food is the food from the Word of God. Spiritual food. Psalms 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Let me ask you this. Can you raise your hand and say, "I know that to be a fact, that God has blessed me"? Yeah, he's blessed all of us, hasn't he? If we will trust him. We were talking this morning about the ninth fruit of the Spirit, which is temperance, and that means self-control. It means discretion. It means discipline. And we were talking about that. And many people, they try to have self-control. And our lesson taught us this morning, we don't try to have self-control. We trust the Lord to work in our hearts to produce self-control. That's temperance. Don't just try, trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Then Psalms 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now my wife loves honey. She likes taking a teaspoon of honey and just eating it. I can't stand to do that myself. When when I had that sore throat and all that sinus stuff for the last couple of weeks, my wife said, just take a big old spoon of that honey. I took a big old spoon of honey and about threw up. It was horrible. How many of you like taking a big spoonful of honey? How many of you do not? All right, a few of us. It's just too sweet, I guess, or something. I don't know. I got it down. I don't know that it helped. But anyway, I got it down. But it is sweet, isn't it? Definitely, it's sweet. And you can put honey on all kinds of things and sweeten that up, of course. But we need to make sure that the Word of God stays sweet to us. And if we'll read it and we'll meditate on it, then it will stay fresh and it will stay sweet. See, the sheep continually feed. They constantly feed. They eat, they bring it back up, they chew on it some more. So we, like sheep, need to be constantly feeding on the Word of God. Constantly feeding on the Word of God. I said this morning that our beliefs determine our behavior. And that's the truth. Now, where do we get our beliefs from? Well, we're supposed to get them from the Word of God. Unfortunately, many people, even Christian people, get them from other places, and therefore their beliefs are not what they ought to be, and therefore their behavior is not what it ought to be. But this is where we should get our beliefs, right here. And if we get our beliefs right here, if I believe something because the Bible says it, it's going to affect my behavior. I'm not going to do certain things because the Bible says don't do those, and I believe the Bible's true. I am going to do certain things because I believe that's what the Bible teaches. For example, tithing. We just took up our tithe. My wife and I tithe off every dime we make. We give to missions. Why? Because I believe that that's what the Bible teaches. Therefore, I'm going to do that. And I know many of you do the same thing. Well, Paul, we're supposed to be constantly feeding. Then, As examples in the Bible of Christian people who were not feeding upon the Word of God and growing spiritually like they should have, we could look at the book of Hebrews. Now, we won't take time to look over there, but I'm going to read this to you, okay? In Hebrews, the Apostle Paul was rebuking the people because they had not been feeding spiritually, and therefore they were not growing spiritually like they should. Now, Jaylene's got a couple of kids here, and Elizabeth's got a couple of kids here, and there are other kids in our church that are not here today, but those children have to eat in order to grow. And if moms and dads don't feed them, they won't grow, right? And so if we don't feed upon the Word of God, we're not going to grow spiritually. And that's what Paul was talking about here. Listen to what he says in Hebrews chapter 5. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul said, you ought to be the ones that are teaching others now the Word of God. But because you have not grown spiritually, because you're still babes in Christ, you have need that others teach you the very basic principles of the Word of God. You ought to be over here where you could handle more of the Word of God, but you're still babies. You're still needing the milk of the Word of God. Look, when someone first gets saved, they need to understand that this is like milk. Hey, but when the babies grow up, they start eating cereal and they start eating baby food. And one of these days, they're able to eat a hamburger and french fries and drink a milkshake and, you know, eat a steak or enchiladas or tacos or whatever they want, right? They can't do that when they're little, when they're just babes. Well, spiritually, we can't handle all that the Bible teaches as babes, but as we grow spiritually, we're able to understand more. We're able to take in more of the Word of God, and our relationship with the Lord grows. That's what it's supposed to be. But these Hebrews had not yet grown beyond the baby stage in their Christian life. So that's why we need to bring back up the Word of God, put it in, bring it up, feed upon it constantly, and it will help us to grow. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." If we want to be blessed by God, if we want to be successful as far as the Lord is concerned, it has to do with the Word of God. So we need to constantly feed. Number two, we need to submit ourselves to the shepherd's control. Now we're talking about our allegiance. We're talking about hearing the shepherd's voice. We need to constantly feed. That's what sheep do. And then we need to submit to the shepherd's control. The closer the sheep are to the shepherd, the safer the sheep will be. The word shepherd comes from two words, sheep and herd. You've got a herd of sheep, and you have to have somebody to be the boss of the herd of sheep and take care of them. It also, the word shepherd then, is talking about the person that controls the sheep or herds them. He needs to lead them to the best pastures and clean water. And the sheep must submit to and follow the shepherd's leading. Because if he doesn't, he's going to get in trouble. I have an article, and I mentioned this a long time ago, but I was reminded of that article again. I've got an article that in a country somewhere, I don't remember exactly where it is, but the shepherds, they had their sheep out, and they kind of took a break. They thought that they were okay, and a big herd. And so they went and into a village and sat down and had a meal. And while they were doing that, nobody was watching the herd. And so the herd started walking off. One sheep walked over, and okay, when one sheep leaves, more follow. And one sheep walked right over the edge of a cliff. And by the time it was over with, almost 1,000 sheep had fallen off the cliff. And almost 500 of them had died. Now, all of them didn't die. This is interesting. Because as they fell over, the pile got bigger and taller and taller and taller. So the ones at the very end of the line, they fell on the other dead sheep. And so lots of them didn't die. But almost 1,000 sheep walked right over the edge of a cliff because one sheep did it and the others are so dumb, they just followed. Well, the truth is, we have to make sure and submit ourselves to the shepherd's control, or we'll be walking over to some cliff spiritually and we'll go right over the edge. Or we'll see somebody else doing that and we'll go do the exact same thing. Well, everybody's doing it, Dad. And what do Christian dads say? No, everybody's not doing it, son, because you're not. Right? Anybody ever heard something like that? Or maybe a girl, Dad, all the girls are doing it. Well, you're not doing it, sweetheart. So obviously all of them aren't doing it, right? It doesn't matter if everybody is doing it. It doesn't matter. If all the sheep are falling off the edge, it doesn't matter. I've got a good friend who pastors in Illinois, very good pastor, and he has a picture in his office. One picture. I don't know, it's about this big. Shows a big herd of sheep, and they're all going towards the edge of a cliff. And you can see the cliff out here in the picture. And there's one sheep. Okay, all the sheep are like going towards the edge of the cliff. There's one sheep in the middle, and he's going the opposite direction. And all the picture says is, excuse me. And one sheep is going the wrong direction, cutting through all the rest of the sheep. Hey, that's how you and I ought to be. We ought to be saying to the world, excuse me, no, not going there. Sorry, not going there. When the Christmas parties come and the alcohol comes out, the Christian says, sorry, I can't participate in that. Or, you know, when all the dirty jokes come out and the dirty magazines come out at work and stuff, sorry, I'm not listening to that, not participating in that. Or whatever the situation might be, right? We just say, excuse me, I'm not going that direction. Because we need to submit to the shepherd's control. The Bible says in Psalms 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If we ask the Lord to lead us, that means we've got to follow. And sometimes following the Lord is easier said than done, isn't it? Sometimes it's over difficult terrain, isn't it? But the shepherd's always there. The shepherd will even pick up the sheep sometime and carry them because he cares for the sheep. Well, he'll do the same thing for us. Psalms 5 and verse 8 says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. If we will listen, God will speak. If we will follow, God will lead. So we need to hear the shepherd's voice. Number two, we need to follow the shepherd's lead. Now, number one, if we hear the shepherd's voice, that's allegiance. That's loyalty. That's commitment. If we follow the shepherd's lead, that's action. Follow is an action verb. You have to do something, right? So he's out in the lead. All we have to do is follow. Now, you wouldn't think following would be so hard, would it? I mean, he's out in the front. All we got to do is follow. But our nature, the old man, we might follow for a while, but then we see something over here. It's like a dog out hunting and a rabbit takes off. And if that dog is not very well trained, then he's going to chase after the rabbits. And you take a whatever kind of dog, hunting dog, and he's out there, and all of a sudden the rabbit takes off and he's gone. You can't find him. That's a worthless dog. Now, the pastor I used to work for, he had some good hunting dogs. And he had shock collars on those dogs. And I'm telling you, man, that's amazing. We'd go quail hunting, and those dogs were good dogs, very expensive dogs. They'd be out there looking, but sometimes they'd drift off or start to go somewhere. He'd hit that shock collar, and literally I've seen those dogs go, arr! And they jump in the air, arr! Like that, turn around in the air, come right back. I mean, literally spin like that, because that shock hits them, and they know, oop, better get back where I'm supposed to be. Have anybody ever seen that out hunting before? That's an amazing thing to watch, man. I mean, it really is. You hit that, arr! They turn right around and get right back to what they're doing again. You know what? I guess you could say we could be like bird dogs, right? The Lord has to put shock collars on some of us because we're out there. Oop, there we go. There goes a rabbit. Oop, going over that way. You know why some people are not here in church? Because they read people. They read after people who take them out of church. And they do not have any sense spiritually. They think they're so spiritual. They think they're growing. And the truth is, they're out there following all kind of jackrabbits out there. And they're out here chasing this person, and they're chasing this author, and they're chasing this music composer. And man, good night, they're out there just wasting time, spinning their wheels. And the Lord, hey, if a dog won't respond to that shock collar, you know what? Get rid of the dog. I don't mean destroy the dog. I just mean sell him for a pet or something, but he's not going to be a good hunting dog. Well, if we won't respond when the Lord tries to get our attention, then the Lord's just going to, sometime he'll just say, well, I'm not able to work with you, so you just continue to be faithful in church and I'll look for somebody else that will do what I ask them to do. I'd hate to be like that. We got to keep moving. If we don't, we become stagnant, right? We know that. When sheep graze, they eat the grass all the way down to the roots, which can quickly kill the grass and destroy the land. So to prevent overgrazing, good shepherds must constantly move their sheep to fresh pasture, because they know if the sheep ruin the pasture, they can't come back there anymore. So they have to be constantly moving. We need to be constantly on the move spiritually. We need to be following the Lord. When we quit following the Lord, we become stagnant. What happens to water when it quits moving? Becomes stagnant, right? Anybody want to drink out of a stagnant pool of water? It's nasty, breeds all kinds of bugs, right? So, that's a good illustration there. Keep moving or we become stagnant. Hey, another thing, don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. The crowd obviously is dropping out of church, but we don't follow the crowd. Sheep have a strong instinct to follow other sheep, no matter where they're going. Doesn't matter. They just follow. Well, even from birth, the little lambs are conditioned to follow the older members of the flock. That's just amazing how all that works. But the Bible says this, Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I can't just go out and do whatever I want to do because I'm going to give an account of myself to the Lord. I've got to follow the shepherd. I've got to be continually growing spiritually. I've got to be continually doing those things that the Lord wants me to do, or I'll become stagnant, and I don't want to become stagnant. And you're going to answer to the Lord one of these days. If we choose to follow the crowd in a direction that leads us away from God, then we are responsible for the consequences. Boy, in our society, people don't want to be responsible for the consequences. They want to do whatever they want to do without any accountability at all. But the truth is, one of these days we're going to stand before the Lord. And if we choose to follow the wrong sheep, to follow the wrong shepherd, we're going to be held accountable for our actions. We've got to say, hey, so there goes some sheep, and they're following whatever out there. Nope, there goes the shepherd. That's the way we need to go. Right there. Hey, this is what we need to follow. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter the direction the world's going. This is what we need to follow right here. And the crowd that's following this book is getting fewer and fewer and fewer. But that doesn't matter. The shepherd's out in the lead. All these other people following all these sheep going wherever they're going, they're not following the shepherd. And they're going to give an account of that one of these days. So we've got to hear the shepherd's voice. And that's called allegiance. We've got to follow the shepherd's lead. That requires action. Then we've got to remain in the shepherd's care. And we could call that abiding. And the Bible talks about that, abiding. Wealthy sheep owners who have big flocks, more flocks than they can care for, they're very careful in their selection of the shepherds they hire, because a sheep's welfare is entirely dependent upon the shepherd. And if they hire the wrong shepherd, their sheep are going to suffer. In that book that I was telling you about, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, the author Philip Keller tells about some bad shepherds and how they really mistreated their sheep. And he said it really made them mad. And whenever they had a chance to buy those sheep, and if they could take care of them, they did, because they cared for the sheep. And it bothered them that they were so mistreated. You see, their sheep were not just pets. They literally were the livelihood of the family. They were very valuable animals, which required diligent care of the shepherd. Hey, look, you and I are On our own, I mean, we're sinners. We know that. We deserve to go to hell when we die. But God saw that we were worth something. And therefore, he sent his son to die on the cross for us. And he sent the best shepherd that there is. And our shepherd cares for us. We're his sheep. And he cares for us. We're not just pets. We're not just something out there to play with. He really does care for us. We are valuable to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Psalm 23:3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here's what we have to do. Number one, we've got to depend on his protection. The sheep do, don't they? They depend on the shepherd's protection. Sheep cannot defend themselves. So their protection is entirely dependent on the shepherd. You and I cannot defend ourselves against Satan, our enemy. We cannot even win the battle with ourself, our flesh, and the world. We are completely dependent upon our shepherd. But thank God, he has already won the victory. And you and I just need to submit ourselves to the shepherd and follow him and depend on him. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As the sheep depend on the protection of the shepherd, so we depend on the protection of the Lord. Remember this, God's always watching over us. There's never a time when we're out of his eyesight. We're out of his care. Never a time. We need to depend on his protection, and then we need to depend on his promises. You see, the sheep depend on the shepherd to take them to fresh pastures, to lead them in the right direction, and to protect them from hazards. In everything, now listen to this, in everything, the sheep depend upon the shepherd. In everything in this life, we need to depend upon our shepherd. The good shepherd will never let his sheep down. Psalms 9:10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. We have the promise of his presence. We have the promise of his peace. We have the promise of his return. And we've got lots and lots of other promises. We can depend on the shepherd. Now, as we conclude, we need to understand this. As God's sheep, we need to develop the skill of hearing our shepherd's voice. This requires reading and meditating on the Word of God. After we hear the shepherd's voice, we need to immediately obey and follow his leading. You see, our shepherd, Jesus Christ, our shepherd's voice is the only one that can be unreservedly trusted. The only shepherd that we can trust is Jesus Christ. And then number three, we must be constantly alert for our lion-like enemy called Satan. He's on the prowl all the time. But our shepherd, Jesus Christ, is ever vigilant and he's always available to take care of us. What a joy it is to belong to such a shepherd. And aren't you glad that God sent the little baby Jesus? And he is our shepherd. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. This little baby that was born in the manger that we celebrate during this time of the year, he is our great shepherd. Now let me ask you this. Are you hearing his voice? Are you following his lead? And are you abiding in his presence and in his care? He's the great shepherd. He's the only one we can trust. And we as sheep need to hear, we need to follow, we need to abide. Let's all stand.